White, soft, and thick, she had saved this piece of caribou fur especially for today. Last October, when the last of the caribou herds were drifting west, she had watched for 3 weeks as the small groups of animals swam across the Cook River.
"I waited until he was coming out of the river so I could shoot him from the side,"
Lily continued talking.
"He was the biggest, most beautiful buck I saw all year. I dropped him good with one shot. Lucky he did not go back in the water, because I was too big to pull him out myself. Then I went right over and cut out this piece."
She smiled and held up the plump fur, squeezed and opened her hand to show a glistening palm. She did not stop talking.
"I had to cut out this big white piece from his chest before I gutted him and ruined it. You know, October is the best time to get caribou fur because it is full of oil. It keeps them warm for the winter."
Tunis Lupin could see the white fur reflected in Lily's ebony eyes. He exchanged broad smiles with the men seated in the outer circle. The center of both circles was Lilith Alukpa and her newborn, Tobias. Both were lying on a caribou skin. In the inner circle sat the women of the village in their quilted parkas. As the new mother sat up to wipe off the baby, smiles turned to grins, and a common joy was reflected under each fur-trimmed hood. The amniotic fluid had dried to a pasty white. When Lily held the baby, the two simulated pearls in her friendship ring were a perfect color match with the baby's waxen coat. Only the matted black hair provided any contrast of the baby against the white fur. Starting at its forehead, Lily carefully wiped the paste away, and Tobias emerged from the natural casing. Although the temperature in the room was just above freezing, she showed no signs of haste. Both small legs were stretched to their full length, and the white wax was removed from each crack and crevice with the soft fur. When she turned the baby over to do his back, the knees drew up to their more familiar position. And, as she wiped down his back and worked toward the base of his spine, both circles of onlookers simultaneously pulled in closer and tighter.
"Ah!"
A ring of approval rose from the group as Lily finally wiped away paste from the bluish Mongolian spot on his spine. It was a perfect circle, and the onlookers murmured delight. A single small lamp hung directly over the new mother and baby. The women of the village sat at the edge of the circle of weak light. Toothless, timeless, wrinkled faces beamed from beneath old fur hoods. The old women chatted constantly. Their garbled observations and exclamations were directed to no one in particular. Occasionally, however, someone would give monosyllabic encouragement to an utterance. In years past, their tongues would have been directed by firm palates and strong teeth. Clear glottals and crisp K sounds, so common in the Eskimo language, would prevail, but now there was a continuous elision of soft C's and S's. A dozen or so younger women, seated in the same circle, maintained a more coherent dialogue. Their ankle-length parkas of red and blue patterned quilted cotton gave the otherwise dun room piquant relief. The women, all married, had begun to gather with the onset of labor. As time passed, they shared the pangs of each contraction, each mother recalling her labor and reminding her neighbors of past births. At first, Lily had to provide the assembly with a description of each contraction. These details would be analyzed by the entourage, and a consensus would bubble out of the group on the progress of the birth. Tunis went to Lily's side and picked up the baby. Wide-open black eyes reflected the beaming square face of his father. Tunis was unconsciously examining the baby, the feet, legs, the size of the hands and arms. His eyes stopped at his son's eyes. There, Tunis could see the faces of generations of French Canadians. "This little tête-à-choux won't sit in an office and wear a vest," thought Tunis. "Together we will live and hunt here." He could scarcely contain his joy. He had a son, a hunter, a voyageur.
"Tunis, let us see the baby," the women shouted.
One old woman shouted to him in Eskimo. He turned to Lily.
"What did she say?"
"She said, stop looking into your mirror of time. You see your yesterdays and your tomorrows, but you can't see yourself today," said Lily, laughing.
Tunis held the baby close, kissed his black hair and cheeks and the bottoms of his feet. He then held the white bundle out to the oldest woman.
"Here are all our tomorrows,"